This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. How do you respond to difficult things that happen in your life? James records the stories of a few people in his letter to the scattered early church. One of them faced an incredibly difficult choice after a hard life. Today, Pastor Sam Horn will continue a sermon titled, The Gospel According to Rahab, from James chapter 2. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
But there's a second question that James now turns to, and that is this. So now that I know what kind of faith saves and what it looked like, how do I know that on the day when I actually need it to save me, it will save me? How do I know that when God brings judgment to the earth, the faith that I have that is just like Abraham's faith will actually deliver me from the wrath of God? And James says, let me introduce you to a second friend. I want to introduce you to a woman whose faith actually did save her on the day that God's wrath came and flattened the entire city in which she dwelt. I want to bring you, Abraham says, into the life of the second friend of God, a woman named Rahab. So what I want to do this morning is I want to give you a little background to Rahab, and then I want to tell you her story as we make some applications to our life. And I've called the message, The Gospel According to Rahab, When Grace Ran Red, or When Grace Runs Red. Her story is told in five places in our Bible. You can find her story here in James 2. You can find her story in Hebrews 11. You can find her story in Matthew 1, and you can find her story in two chapters in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 2 and Joshua chapter 6. So what do we know from the scripture, and what do we know about Rahab? She's actually one of the most intriguing people in your Bible. The Jewish rabbis spent more time writing about Rahab than they wrote about any other woman in scripture. They considered her to be one of the four most beautiful women outside of Eve that God ever created. And they wrote about her in that way. You say, well, who are the other three? Well, Sarah, Abraham's wife, and Abigail, David's wife, and Esther. And so that's who, if you want to know who the Jewish rabbis thought the most beautiful women in the world that God ever created outside of Eve, Rahab would be in that list. Rahab, everywhere in the scripture she is mentioned, Rahab, except one, Rahab is mentioned as a prostitute. In fact, her name signifies her profession. She was very good at what she did. When you get to Joshua chapter 2 and you start reading about her life, everybody in the city of Jericho knew who she was, and everybody in the city of Jericho knew exactly what she did. She had a home on the walls of the city. The city of Jericho was a city that existed for 1,000 years before Rahab came to live there. She had lived there the entire time the Israelites had been wandering in the wilderness. There was a 40-year period of time when the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness, and chances are very, very great that Rahab lived most of those times in the city of Jericho, in her home, on the wall, next to the city gates. You know she was near the gates because she could look down and she could see the gates and that they were closed when she talked to the city officials, or about to close as she talked to the city officials. The king knew who she was. When the two spies come in, they immediately are aware that these men are Hebrews, and they have come in to do a mission, and the king says, I know exactly where those men are, and I want you to go to Rahab's house, and I want you to find them. So he knew who she was. Tradition would say that Rahab was a harlot in the city of Jericho, and she serviced all of the men in the city, including the king and including his nobles. She was very good at what she did, and she was well known in the city, to the point that the king knew who she was. She knew what was going on in the city. She knew what was going on outside of the city, and because she had access to all of the men in the city and all of the men in the neighboring region. She knew what was going on in their thinking, and she knew what was going on in their planning. And so she had she had access to all of this information. Rahab also knew about a huge army that had gathered 3 days' journey from her city on the other side of the Jordan River. And she knew why they were there. She had heard about this army. She was able to quote in the text we read this morning, Exodus 15, a song, an inspired song that God gave to Moses 40 years earlier, right after they walked across the Red Sea and turned around and saw the armies of Pharaoh drown when those waves came crashing back together. And as they got on the other side of that experience, God gave to Moses an inspired song that he wrote down. And Rahab knew that song. She quotes from it in Joshua chapter 2. She'd heard more recently about what God had done for this army in the Amorite victories they had over the two kings that stood in their way, that opposed them coming. She knew that God had promised to give her city and her land to these men and to that army. And so these men come to this city and they depart from their journey. Joshua says to them, I want... Now, Joshua does this secretly. He doesn't tell Israel what he's doing. He goes to these two men and he says, I have a secret mission for you. I want you to go into Jericho, and I want you to do something when you get there. I want you to spy out the land, but there's something else that Joshua had in mind, and you can see what he had in mind in the passage here in James chapter 2 when he calls them messengers, and we will look at that here in a moment. And so these men depart from a place called Shittim. And if you go back to Numbers chapter 25, this was the place where the people of Israel had been before, and they had gone to the Moabite women and to the Amorite women, and they had committed fornication with them. They had committed whoredom. The word that Numbers uses is the word whoredom. They had committed that with these women. And so here is Israel. They are back in that place, and these two men are sent by Joshua, and they land in Rahab's brothel, which is on the city walls. And everybody knows where it is. Everybody knows what goes on there. And here are the men, and they come to this place. And they're looking for lodging for night. Now, the writer of Joshua chapter 2 is very clear, and he's very careful in the grammar of the text to make sure you know that nothing immoral happened with these two men when they got to Rahab's house. And that's not why they went to that house. There is something that is going on. There is a great reversal that is happening. Israel went to Shittim, and the last time they were there was a great immoral act that took place. And now they're back at that same place, and two men are now going to a place where immorality is the norm, and there's something different going to happen this time. And it's going to happen at the house of the city prostitute named Rahab. So, what is her story? If anybody merited the wrath of God, if any place merited the wrath of God, it was this city, Jericho. It was a city filled with immorality and idolatry, and well known in its day for all of that. So if any city in Canaan merited the destruction that God had promised Abraham he would wait 400 years to bring, it was this city. And if anybody in that city merited destruction, personally, it was this woman, Rahab. So what's her story? Well, let's look at her story very quickly this morning and then draw some conclusions. Let's begin by looking at the inauspicious beginning of her story, her sinful character. And we noted earlier that every biblical account except one identifies her as a prostitute. In Old Testament times, there were two kinds of prostitutes in the city. One would have been the religious prostitutes that were in the city temple and as part of the worship of the false god would engage in ritual prostitution, and they were held in high esteem by everybody in the city. And the other was just the normal, everyday city prostitute that sold herself for money. And that is exactly what Rahab was. The grammar used by James and the writer of Hebrews to describe her as a prostitute makes clear in James's day, if you were reading this or hearing this, it would be very clear to you that prostitution wasn't just something that Rahab did because she had to. She sort of fell into it and it was the only thing she could do. The idea here is that this is who she was. This was who she was at her core. And so as you think about if God was going to pick the first Gentile to become a member of his kingdom, would you have picked Rahab? Because here's the thing I want you to know about her past, and even in her sinful character. She is the first Gentile convert to God's people outside of Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. When you go back to Moses and you read about his father-in-law, he came and became a part of the kingdom of God that he was building through Israel. But the first Gentile woman who ever came to be a member of Israel, the first Gentile, was this town prostitute named Rahab. You would never have expected that. There is a great reversal going on here where the ultimate outsider is going to about to become the ultimate insider. And so that's her sinful character. But what happens when these two men come into the city? And that's the sort of the next chapter in the story, is this shocking, surprising thing that happens. There is this immense plot twist that takes place, her surprising conduct, and we can read about it in Hebrews 11:31 and in James chapter 2. She gave a friendly welcome to the spies. Here are these two men that come into the city, and it's really clear who they are. The idea that they were on a secret mission isn't so much that Joshua's saying to them, look, when you get there, kind of keep quiet and kind of don't tell anybody what you're doing. It's actually a secret he's keeping from Israel. The secret mission is one that Joshua's not telling his own people about. He's actually saying to the men, I want you to go to Jericho, because when they get there, there is no indication that he is or they are trying to hide what they're doing. Rahab is going to hide them in a minute. But these men have a message that they want to give. And it's really clear that as soon as they get there, immediately the king hears who they are. They know that they are men of Israel, and he knows why they're there, and he knows where they are. And so he immediately comes through his messengers to Rahab's house, and he is seeking to do evil to these men. What will Rahab do? She knows exactly who these men are, and she receives them with peace. She knows who they are, and she receives them with peace. Look at verse 2 in Joshua chapter 2. If you go there in your Bible, if you see verse 2 and verse 4, when the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said to the men who were standing at her door, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalk of flax that she laid out in order on the roof. She received these men, Hebrews says, with shalom. That's an important term. These men were coming into her city to announce something that God was going to bring on the city of Jericho, and it wasn't shalom. It was judgment. And so here's the city prostitute, and she has within her power the opportunity to do great good to the king, great good to her city, and to earn a great deal of monetary reward for what she would do. And instead, she aligns herself with these two men. This is a stunning reversal. And that's what James means when he says to us, to you and to me, I want you to know that this woman that we're reading about, the city prostitute that we're reading about, I want you to know that she was a friend of God. She aligned herself fully against everybody that she knew, against everybody that she understood. She aligned herself against her city and her culture, and she aligned herself with God. Her actions were intentional. They were thoughtful. They were personal. She protected these men from her own people. They came to her, and she secreted them on the roof under a large pile of flax, and she did so before the king's men ever showed up at her door. That's an important detail in Joshua chapter 2. As soon as she understood who these men were, she had made a decision about what to do with these men because she knew why they were there. She knew they were in the city to announce a judgment that God was going to bring on her city, and she knew immediately how that was going to go down because she knew what the men in the city were thinking. And she's going to tell us that here in just a moment. Which brings us to the third thing in her story. There is this confession, this stunning confession that comes out of her mouth as she talks to the men. And that's the passage that we looked at this morning. Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Before the men lay down, she came to them on the roof and she said to the men, I know, I know. And then she's going to tell them three things she knows. And then she's going to say later on in the text in verse 10, for we have heard. I know some things and we have heard some things. So what is it that she knew? What is it that Rahab knew? Look at verse 9. Rahab said, I know, I know. And the idea here is I am fully convinced of this. It's not just like I kind of heard this and I don't know if it's true or not. She said, I am fully convinced. I know without a shadow of a doubt. And here's what I know. I know that the Lord, and she uses the covenant name of God. So if you were a Canaanite, you believed in the existence of gods. In fact, your city had its own gods. And the typical word that you would use to talk about the idea of God was the word El. Oftentimes in the scripture, when you read about God's names, there are two parts to God's name. There's El Elyon, or there's El Shaddai. And the word El is the word, the Hebrew word or the Aramaic word for God. And that's the word you would expect to come out of Rahab's mouth. I know that El or Elohim has given you the land, but she doesn't. She uses the word Yahweh, which is the covenant name of God. She understood who God was. And she embraced the reality that God had the right to do with the earth whatever he wanted to do. Notice how she says here, I know that this God, Yahweh, has given you the land. The aretz, that's the word, the Hebrew word aretz, is the word that God used when he said to Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. And the very piece of land, the aretz, that God is talking about with Abraham 400 years earlier is the ground that Rahab is living on. It's the city of Jericho and the land of Canaan. And Rahab says, I know who your God is, and I know that he has decided to give you this entire country, including this city. And she said this, I also know that your God has sent great terror into the heart of the men of this city. She said, I know that great fear has fallen on us and all the inhabitants of land melt away before you. So here's her confession. It comes out of what she believes and what she knows. And that brings me to a question I had. How did she know this? How did a pagan woman in the city of Jericho know all of this? How did she come to know about Yahweh? How did she know? Well, she knew because somehow God had brought across her path the word of God. Well, Paul is going to say later, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And there was a word of God that God had given to Moses 40 years earlier, and it's written down for you in Exodus 15. And somehow that song had wandered throughout the land. as Israel was wandering in the wilderness, this inspired song that Israel sang had wandered and made its way throughout the land. And it had come to Jericho, and Rahab had heard it, and the Spirit of God had caused her to understand it. And so she heard the word. And then she heard the report. She knew that as this nation encountered enemy after enemy after enemy in the wilderness, God had overcome not just the armies of Pharaoh, but he'd overcome every army that had stood in their way up to the last two, these two Amorite kings that were well known in her region, and they had been totally destroyed by God through his people. The only time the Israelites suffered a defeat militarily in that wilderness wandering is when they committed their rebellion against the Lord. And Rahab had heard of all of this. But I think there was another way that Rahab heard. I think that God had sent to Jericho two messengers. It's interesting to me as you study the scripture and as you kind of look at when God sends judgment to a city. For example, when he sent judgment to Sodom in Genesis, he sent ahead of that judgment two men to warn the city of Sodom to repent. If you go forward past Rahab all the way hundreds of years later to a judgment God was going to bring on an entire wicked city called Nineveh, before he brought that judgment, what did he do? He sent a messenger named Jonah, albeit an unwilling one. So here are two messengers, and I personally believe, this is my opinion, and you're not obligated to my opinion since I'm marking it out as my opinion, but I believe the reason that James uses the word messengers to describe these two men is because of what Joshua was sending them to do. I think he was sending them to Jericho to announce the coming of judgment and to urge people in that city not to trust their gods and not to trust their walls and not to trust the city that had stood for 1,000 years. But to repent. And of all the people in that city, there was one person who heard and who believed. And it was a town prostitute. And you know what she did? She turned from her idols to serve the living God and to wait for the coming of Joshua to deliver her. Does that sound like any New Testament passage you know? 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Paul says this is exactly what happens when pagan people hear the gospel. They turn from their idols to serve the living and the true God, and they wait for the coming of his son from heaven. And that son is another Joshua, Jesus. This is a stunning story that happens. And so she believes in her heart, and she confesses in her mouth. And here's what she says in verse 11. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. That's a stunning statement to come out of the mouth of an idolatress. She's not just saying to the two men, hey, we know that your God, Yahweh, is a really powerful God. She's actually saying something about her gods. She's actually observing that the God she serves, the idols of Jericho, aren't gods at all.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for Sunday morning worship at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about PBC, please email radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.